Crummy Mummy and Me, written by Anne Fine and read by Brenda Blethyn.
Chapter 1, Crummy Mummy. I don't think my mum's fit to be a parent, really I don't. Every morning it's the same, every single morning. I'm standing by the front door with my coat on, ready to go. School starts at 9 and it's already 8:40 or even later, and she's not ready. She's not even nearly ready. Sometimes she isn't even dressed. Come on, I shout up the stairs. We have to leave now. Hang on a minute. What are you doing up there? A voice comes all muffled through the bedroom door. Nothing. You must be doing something, I yell. I'm not. Come down then, we're waiting. Can't find my shoes. I lean against the front door, sighing. With as much patience as I can muster, I call upstairs. Where did you take them off? I thought I took them off in the bathroom. Look there, then. I have. If you would only put your shoes away neatly at night, we wouldn't have to go through this every single morning. By now, of course, my baby sister's fretting. She's strapped inside her pushchair, and since I put her coat and bonnet on at least 10 minutes ago, and she's still indoors, her head and ears are getting hot and scratchy. She's boiling up into one of her little rages. Already she's trying to tug her bonnet off. Will you come on? I shout upstairs. I'm really getting mad now. I'm coming, coming. Well, hurry up. At last she comes downstairs. And even then she's never dressed right. You'd think, honestly you would, that we didn't have any windows upstairs the way she chooses what to wear. She certainly can't bother to look through them at the weather. She'll sail down in midwinter, when it's snowing, in a thin cotton frock with short puffy sleeves and no woolly. I have to be firm. You can't come out like that. Why not? You just can't, I tell her. You'll catch your death. It's snowing out there. It's far too cold for bare arms. You'll freeze. Oh, put a coat on. But I just stare at her until she goes back upstairs for a sweater. And even then she'll choose something quite unsuitable. She never dresses in the right sort of thing. She'd wear her glittery leg warmers to a funeral if I let her, or if we ever went to funerals. She'd sit on a beach in her thick purple poncho. If she were called in to see the headmaster, she'd rather wear those baggy flowery shorts she found abandoned on a park bench last Easter than anything sensible. Oh, she'd look fantastic, she always does, but not at all like a mother. You have to watch her. You can't let up. At least she admits it. Oh, I'm a terrible embarrassment to you, Mina, she confesses, buckling on two of her best-studded belts. I'm a crummy mummy. Oh, then I feel mean for being so stern. You're not a crummy mummy, I tell her. You do your best, and I suppose it doesn't really matter what you look like. You're right, she says, cheering up at once. And then, if you let her, she'd get worse. At least, that's what my gran says, and she should know, because she's her mother. I like my gran. She lives right on the other side of the estate, but she comes over almost every tea time. She picks Miranda out of the cot and coos to her, and then she sits with Miranda on her knee on the only bit of sofa that isn't leaking stuffing. Mostly she tells Mum off. She says now Mum's a mother of two, it's time she grew up and pulled herself together. She tells Mum she should throw all her safety pin earrings and lavender fishnet tights into the dustbin and go out and buy herself a nice decent frock from Marks and Spencer's. She says Mum ought to take those horrible Punk Skunks records off the stereo before they ruin Miranda, and put on something nice and easy to listen to, like Perry Como's Christmas Selection.